Welcome
to Resting Witch Face, your one-stop haunt for all things spooky, bitchy, and more. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm Bailey Bennett.
I'm Grant Jacoby.
And we're going to stop doing that weird thing now.
No.
Okay.
Don't tell me what to do.
Okay. There's just going to be like a slow, low, like...
Yeah.
Underneath the whole episode, if that's
yes,
cool.
Just a nice breathy murmur.
Just so you really feel like there's a ghost listening yes. with you.
Have you seen The Grudge?
No. Which is terrible yeah. because it's our girl.
Do you know that the sound that the ghost makes in The Grudge?
Yes, I think
it's,
so.
It's so funny because it's like the stupidest thing, but for some reason when it's in the context of like a scary film, it's terrifying. Those who haven't seen it, it's the like sound.
Oh, okay.
But it just like it's so gross. This episode is brought to you by Bailey's alien earrings that she
hell
is,
yeah, it is
sporting right now.
I've been wearing these for like 2 months straight.
Have you really? I've never yeah. noticed them until right now.
Hell yeah. I need to have them close to me at all times.
Yeah. I like it. It feels very appropriate on this balmy January day.
Mm-hmm. It's like
this as this episode comes to you in February.
Yeah, this is definitely coming out like February 12th, whatever. I hear you have something that you want to talk about today.
Yeah, I have hey, that scared the shit out of me.
Amazing.
So this happened to me. Okay, full transparency. This actually happened to me a couple weeks ago, but I was reminded of it the other night, which is I get really paranoid when a car follows me for too long.
Ugh, I mean, as you should.
And normally it'll be like if I've like, I don't feel this way like on a highway, but like when you're, especially when driving around more like suburban areas. And I was driving around, I was in Boston. I was coming home back to my parents' house and I'd gotten off the highway and I was going through my town and it was something where like the car had been behind me on the highway. I got off the exit. It was still behind me. And just like I was going through back roads, kind of like a shortcut. And every turn I made, was behind me. And I'd always been taught or told or whatever, if you think that a car actually is following you, don't go home.
Right.
Go to a public place or police station.
Yeah.
Yeah, public place. Go to a mall.
yeah, and then just
and
wait
get
in an empty
some
parking
shoes.
Lot.
Yeah. So I literally, and also like, I'm really terrified of people with road rage.
Oh my God.
I will honk, but I will never give anyone the finger as much as I want to. Cause
that's happened where people get out of their car with a gun and come up to your window. They're crazy.
There is an episode of CSI that still haunts me to this day about where like the twist was that this woman was in a car and got like hit by a train and they were like,
oh my God.
Oh, like, how did that happen? Like, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out to be like a road rage. Like someone like pushed her on. And the saddest part is that she could have gotten out and gotten away, but she wanted to make sure her dog got safe first.
Oh my God.
It's literally, wow. It's haunting. Like I'm feeling
CSI,
emotional.
What a
like fuck
tear jerker.
anyways, but so yeah, I'm terrified of people. So like, I'm running through like a laundry list of things in my head. I'm like, did I cut this person off? Why are they following me? Are they coming to kill me?
Right.
Is it my time? It doesn't feel like it's my time.
I haven't even seen a ghost yet. It's not my time.
I can't become a ghost until I've seen a ghost. And I was really close to my house and I was like, am I going to have to go to a, like I almost, actually almost like just like called my parents and was like, what do I do? And I turned onto my street and then they kept driving.
Ugh.
And I was just
like, oh my God.
But I was like, for probably like a good like 15 minutes,
that's
I was
way too
sweating.
Long.
I was freaking out. And I thought of, Grant, this happened over the holidays, but I thought of it because I went to a friend's house in New Jersey the other night. And as I was driving back into the city, there was a car that was just kind of like on my ass and was just like following mm-hmm. me like into Brooklyn. And I just was like, can you not?
Oh, I hate that.
But also there's something much scarier about suburbia.
Oh, totally. I mean, obviously so many crimes happen in the city, but I'm always going to feel safer walking. Like there's just so many people around at all times. Like it's so easy in suburbia to just be in a parking lot at 11 PM and have there be not a single other car mm-hmm. around you.
Yeah. My friend Trudy, who you also know, who we love, she's a badass bitch. She's an amazing tattoo artist and whatnot, but she grew up in the same town as me. And she always said, when I walk around New York, like I'm not scared of muggers, mm-hmm. like fucking come at me. When I walk around Wellesley, the town we're from, it's like, I'm terrified because serial killers live in small towns.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And don't you have a serial killer? No, you had a murderer from your town.
Yeah, there was a murder in my town in probably 1999. Okay. The Grinader murder. I don't know if he was a dentist or a doctor, and he brutally murdered his wife while they were walking their dog, and like tried to cover it up that it was like some stranger, and like did a real shit job of it. Yeah, it was pretty gross. And like he was like, oh, she hurt her back, so she laid down and I kept walking with my dog. And when I came back, her head was almost cut off and her pants were down.
Yeah, that's not what happened. That's not how that works.
Yeah, and then he was like, sorry, it's not funny, but
no.
he was especially dumb because when he called the police, they found him. He was covered in blood, except for his hands.
Sure.
And then he was like, I checked her pulse. And they're like, sir, your wife's head is almost off. Even like anyone with any sort of context clue would know that you would not check the pulse of someone. And also if you checked her pulse
with your elbow, did you check her pulse?
Well, why aren't your hands bloody? And if you're covered in blood, except for your hands,
because he washed them off.
No, he wearing gloves.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. He's in prison now.
I'm a detective. So,
and apparently his kids still believe that he didn't do it.
Oh, honeys.
He was, and the reason he did it was he was caught having like, he had like a double life on like the internet. This was also in the late 90s. So he was like, you know, sending MSN messengers to like sex workers being like,
amazing. This guy sounds like a real winner.
Yeah. It's like The Staircase.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, check out that.
Yeah. Check that out.
Or, if you want to know more, there's a book called A Murder in Wellesley.
Ooh.
It's written by a former police. It's not officer. It's not very well written. I don't mean to insult the author because they're obviously a former cop and fighting the good fight, mm-hmm. I guess. Yeah, let's just move on.
Okay. Speaking of Trudy, for our badass bitches this week, I just want to talk about some of our fans and listeners who have been doing really nice stuff for us.
Yeah, I know. The concept of having fans is it's like wild.
Trudy and Anna have, well, at this point, maybe more will happen by the time this comes out. But at this time, Trudy and Anna have both like mentioned us in Instagram stories, and we actually got listens from that. And just a lot of people have been emailing us and texting us really, really nice things and giving us great suggestions and telling us their own stories. And it's so awesome. So,
yeah, we really appreciate it because we would do this anyways if five people were listening, but it's nice to not just be like speaking into a void. It's nice, you know, being able to have a dialogue and also know that like there are other, you know, amazing stories out there that we don't know. And, it's nice to like hear from like-minded people and that, you know, we started this podcast because we love podcasts and we love scary things and we love bitching.
Yep.
And it's nice that like an idea, just like a random idea that we had could actually brighten up people's day. And it's just, it warms my cold, dead heart when people are like, your podcast like helps me get through a long work day. And it's just like,
oh my God. Yeah. It's also just nice to know that we're not alone in our strange interests and that other people actually want to hear us talk about ghosts and murder and aliens and all the like.
Yeah. Thank you and please continue to keep it coming. Our email is rwfpodcast@gmail.com and our Instagram is rwfpodcast, as is our Twitter.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, my badass bitch of the week is going to be the incredibly talented and critically adored Laura Dern.
Oh, hell yeah. This is the year of Laura Dern.
It really is. Yeah. She is an incredible actress, for those of you that don't know. And if you don't know, get out. She's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Kind of, I think, first made waves in the 90s. She's done a lot of David Lynch films. And this year she's been in Twin Peaks, The Return.
Yeah,
and
I feel like she's
Star
probably,
Wars.
Probably most well-known for Jurassic Park.
Duh.
Yeah. But Blue Velvet. All day, every day, please.
What else has she done recently? Oh, Big Little Lies, mm-hmm. which she just won a Golden Globe for and mm-hmm. an Emmy for.
Yeah.
Of which she's incredible. What else? I feel like she's in everything.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, particularly this year, it was like Big Little Lies, Star Wars, and
Twin Peaks
all in a row. And she's just really been killing it.
Really been killing it. And we've talked a lot about unproblematic faves. And she just seems like the kind of, mm-hmm. when I've seen interviews with her or at award shows, she seems like the kind of person that you would just like love to have at a cocktail party.
Oh my God, I'd love to hang out with her.
Just fucking chill. And
yeah.
She's so talented and so smart and so beautiful. And just like,
mm-hmm.
it seems like she's one of those people that like, there's nothing she can't do. Right. And, she's also just like the gays just love her.
Like rightfully.
True icon. So big fan.
I just hope there are so many like more things for her on the horizon. Cause she really is great.
Oh yeah. I feel like this is like a watershed for her yes. of like, this is just the tip of
it's
the iceberg of like what she can do. And and especially being in, I think she's in her early 50s.
Mm-hmm.
I also love seeing actresses who, not so much actors, I don't care about men, actresses who are able to continue and receive recognition and sometimes even receive like the most amount of their fame later in their career.
Yeah.
It's just, it's nice to know that, you know, the Hollywood stereotype of that women can't get cast after a certain age, which obviously still happens.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Oh yeah. I mean,
but it's nice to see when people can rise above that.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a good one.
Thank you.
Thanks, ladies. But to get back to the spooky shit, what do you have for us this week?
Okay. My story is one I never heard of before, but it combines three of my favorite things, which are ghosts, serial killers, and alcohol.
Hell yeah. let's do it.
Let's get to it. I was doing just some, you know, preliminary Google searches, and I found this YouTube video that was done by the account Top 10 Archive, which was like top 10 like supernatural murders.
Oh, good.
And Elisa Lam was in there and the Bell Witch was in there. And I was like, okay, like this is on brand. And so because of that inspiration, I'm going to tell you the story of the La Crosse River drownings.
Ooh, I don't know about this either.
And you know, when you read something and you don't actually sound out in your head. And then when you do, you're like, oh, that's actually fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. This happened to me because it's spelled L-A space C-R-O-S-S-E.
Right.
So I was like, oh, La Crosse.
Right.
But then I was like, oh, La Crosse. Yeah. Like fucking... This is not about sports.
It's not about prep schools.
It is not. I got a lot of this information from Top 10 Archive, the La Crosse Tribune, the La Crosse Library, Hidden Truth Productions, Reddit, and Thought Catalog.
Wow, you did your homework.
I got into like a... So it's a story that they like briefly mentioned in this YouTube video, but I was like, I need to know more. So yeah. I kind of got into like a wormhole of... a black hole of mm-hmm. just internet.
Amazing.
Because it is a story that has, depending on who you ask or what you find about it, has many different opinions. So the La Crosse River is a 61.3 mile long tributary, word I never heard, of the Mississippi River in southwestern Wisconsin. It is also the name of a town in southern Wisconsin. I guess a tributary is like a body, like a mm-hmm. water. Oh, you know what it is? Mm-hmm. That meets another body of water.
Yep. Did you have sixth grade geography or?
I don't think
just kidding.
Not.
Sorry, that was rude. Bye.
Bye. So over the past two decades, 11 college age men have drowned in this river.
Oh.
And I'm going to tell you about them. So it begins on July 12th, 1997, when Richard Vault.
You can do this.
Okay, this is the weirdest spelled last name I've ever seen.
Okay.
H, may he rest in peace. H-L-A-V-A-T-Y. Hilvati.
Okay.
He was 19, and he was visiting his brother James in La Crosse when they were chased from the corner of 3rd and Pearl Streets to the river after getting into a bar fight. Both jumped into the river to flee the attackers. James escaped, but Richard drowned. Shortly after that, on September 28th, 1997, 28-year-old Charles Blatz had come to La Crosse for Oktoberfest and was last seen going heading to a downtown bar. His body was found floating in the river 5 days later. Mm. On just a week after that, on October 5th, 1997, 19-year-old Tony Skifton disappeared after leaving a party on Fifth Avenue. He was last seen walking near the footbridge to Huska Park. Some of these Wisconsin names. His body was found 5 days later, also in the river. On February 18th, 1998, 20-year-old Nathan Kapfer was last seen walking alone 3rd Street after being cited for underage drinking outside Brothers Bar. His hat and wallet were found in Riverside Park, and his body was recovered from the river 2 months later in April.
These are all happening, like, really close together.
Yeah. I realize I'm just like kind of like doing a laundry list of people who died, but it's
because there's a lot more to get into.
Yes.
Okay.
20-year-old Jeffrey Giese was last seen alive at the 3rd Street Tavern on April 11th, 1999. So we flash forward a year. His body was recovered from the Mississippi River in May. Patrick Runnigan drowned in the Black River. So we're talking about the La Crosse River, which feeds into the Mississippi River and also the Black River.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know the geography of this area. So this dude drowned on March 1st or 2nd, 2001, unclear. Jared Dion, who was 21, was last seen leaving a 3rd Street bar. A lot of these people were around, but apparently a bar is on 3rd Street. He was last seen leaving a bar on April 10th, 2004. His hat was later recovered in Riverside Park, similar to Nathan Kapfer, and his body was recovered nearby.
Then, they're all like around the same age or something.
Yes. Okay. So they're all college age men, boys who were out drinking and somehow wound up in the river.
Jeez.
Then an unidentified man claims he was drinking with friends in a downtown bar in La Crosse until around 1:45 on Sunday, January 8th, 2004. But then somehow ended up in the middle of the Mississippi with no recollection of how he got into the water.
Shit.
According to an article in the La Crosse Tribune, he found himself in the river fighting a strong current that was rapidly carrying him downstream. After an estimated 15 minutes, he was able to grab onto a tall concrete structure and pull himself to shore, where he likely passed out. Until around 7 a.m. that following morning, he was 21 years old, and he showed up at the nearby hospital, confused, covered in mud, and missing his shirt and shoes. He was unable to provide any details of what happened to him.
That's weird.
Yeah. On September 30th, 2006, 21-year-old Luke Homan disappeared after a night of drinking at several downtown bars. His body was also found in the river. On September 30th, 2007, so a full year later, Christopher Melankin, who was 24, fell from the Cass Street Bridge into the Mississippi River around 1:30 a.m. This is actually the one case out of the 11 deaths that could potentially be linked to suicide because he was seen falling or jumping from the bridge, whereas the others, no one knows how they got into the water.
This is crazy.
Craig Myers, who was 21, drowned in the Mississippi River after being dropped off in the 700 block of Market Street on February 14th, 2010. Video evidence showed him walking west on Cass Street around 2 a.m. Divers later recovered his body from the river, where police found footprints leading onto the ice.
Hmm.
Shalim Augustine, who's 23, left a group of friends late of the night on July 8th, 2014, after they docked onto the boat near the Black River Beach. His body was found 3 days later north of where he was last seen, walking south on Copeland Park. All of the men, and that's the last reported death, all of the men were found to have blood alcohol between 2.4 and 5.25 times the legal limit to drive a car.
That's very high, right?
Pretty fucking high. So the totally non-supernatural kind of basic theory is that all of these men were out drinking, got drunk, somehow were like, let's go swimming, and drowned.
It's a lot of men for that
it's,
to happen.
It's a lot
too.
Of men, and also nearly all of the alleged drowning victims were discovered in frigid northern climates during the winter months.
Yeah, you'd have to, like, how drunk would you have to be like, let me hop in. It's like 20 degrees.
Oh, exactly. And so even like the drunkest of frat bros would not like be like, this is a perfect ideal to like go into this freezing water.
Well, it's also like maybe a few of them could have fallen in because they were so drunk, but like what, 11?
11 that's over like, the span of,
that's too many.
Way too many.
How do you know like where it's kind of situated in relation to the road? Like how difficult it would have been to just kind of fall in?
That I don't know, because I think a lot of them, because we don't know
a
lot
exactly
of
where they
we don't know where they fell in, because again, a lot of their bodies were kind of washed up a couple of days, sometimes to months later. And also there was no similar pattern of alcohol related drownings in warmer states. It was just this one particular location in Wisconsin.
Okay.
So those are kind of the basic facts of these drownings. Now there are two major other theories about what might have happened to these men. I'm going to let you pick which one do you want to hear first. Do you want to hear the serial killer theory or do you want to hear the ghost theory?
Oh my God. How can I possibly choose? which one do you think is the more likely theory?
The serial killer.
Okay, give me the ghost first. Okay.
So one of the main theories, which is documented in a documentary entitled The Hidden Truth, is that this river, the La Crosse River, is haunted by the victims or those who died in the War Eagle water boat massacre.
Ooh.
So on May 14th, 1870, we're going back in time a little bit, the War Eagle was a sidewheel packet boat, and it came to La Crosse. The passengers were dropped off at City Landing at State and Front Streets, and it then proceeded north along the railroad depot on the Black River to take on freight and await for the midnight train in Milwaukee. Obviously, I did not write that sentence because that is really unimportant information.
Cool.
So along with passengers that were on this boat, there was also... there were wooden barrels filled with something called Danforth's non-explosive petroleum fluid.
Oh, well, if it says non-explosive, I mean, can't go wrong.
It was a kind of lamp oil, and while it was not explosive, it turned out to be very flammable.
Perfect.
So while loading the barrels onto the War Eagle, it was reported to Captain Thomas Cushing that one of the barrels was leaking. The captain ordered the boat's carpenter to fix it. However, soon, apparently, the barrel caught fire, as did the carpenter.
Oh, my God.
He jumped into the water to extinguish the fire from his clothes, but the barrel was subsequently rolled to the left side of the boat into a large bay, which prevented the crew from being able to roll it back and into the water. Fire and black smoke rapidly spread throughout the wooden boat, and also the... not only was the oil very flammable, the boat was super fucking flammable because this was 200 years ago. So the boat was not made out of what boats are normally made out of today. It was actually hollow. So it was very, very fucking flammable.
What a great cocktail of situations.
Yes. And it wasn't long before the boat burned and sank to the bottom of the river. Several people were killed, including Mary Ulrich and Felix Spiller. Who are important factors because, so before Mary Ulrich, she was, I think in her late teens, before she got aboard the boat, her uncle, John Ulrich, entrusted her to the care of the ship's barber, Felix Spiller. Later that night when the boat was ablaze, Spiller awoke to the flames and realized that Ulrich was still on board, he attempted to rescue her, but it was too late. The boat was going down. The only option at that point was to jump into the river. He took her hand and jumped over the rail, but no one could swim in those days, and they both drowned.
Okay.
However, this was him attempting to save her life was not ever eventually reported in the local paper because Felix Spiller was black and Mary Ulrich was white.
Oh, great.
So he was
our
never
country is yeah, amazing.
He was never actually able to get the credit for, I think he had maybe, like, he could have escaped. I think he went back for her.
Oh,
because Felix. He was, and like the report even couldn't even say that their bodies were found together.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And so then this documentary, The Hidden Truth, proposes that actually it is the ghost of Mary Ulrich that haunts the La Crosse River, and that her spirit acts as some sort of siren that potentially lured these men to their deaths after hearing her crying for someone to come and save her.
Ooh, that's interesting. Now I believe it. That's like, have you heard that this is kind of unrelated. Supposedly it's a thing with murderers or people who are looking to rob you, where they will use the recording of a baby crying, like,
oh,
they'll, like, in your backyard, like in the middle of the night, will like play it really loudly, and people will get up like looking for the source of it and like open their door, and there he is.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, that's like, so my worst fear.
If you hear
never
a baby
rescue
crying,
a baby,
just mind your own fucking business. So that's kind of the ghost theory, and there isn't a whole lot of obviously proof that Mary Ulrich is the one haunting the river. But the other major theory that surrounds these mysterious deaths is the smiley face murders.
I don't want it anymore.
So this is a theory that was proposed by two retired New York City detectives named Kevin Gannon and Anthony Duarte. And they have linked the deaths of 45 college-age males whose bodies were found in the water across 11 states, all of whom were seen out at bars and partying with friends. So this includes the 11 deaths in Wisconsin, as well as apparently, let me see if I can do some quick mental math, 34 other deaths.
Mm-hmm.
The men, according to the former detectives, often fit the profile of being popular, athletic, college-age, who were good students and mostly were white. They theorized that the perpetrator was possibly clumsy, ugly, and dumb, and therefore motivated by envy.
Oh, okay.
Gannon and Duarte have theorized that the young men were all murdered either by an individual or by an organized group of killers. The term smiley face became connected with the alleged deaths when they all dead. They're all dead. The alleged murders when it was made public that Gannon and Duarte had discovered graffiti depicting a smiley face near locations where they think the killer dumped the bodies in at least a dozen of the cases.
I really, really hate that.
Yeah, it's pretty creepy. The La Crosse, Wisconsin Police Department, which was in charge of 8 of the investigations, released an official statement reiterating their original conclusions that the deaths were accidental drownings of inebriated men and saying that no smiley face symbols were found in connection with any of these cases. And similarly, the FBI has also investigated and has kind of debunked this theory.
Really?
Yeah, but it still doesn't, because they basically said that there's no actual signs of foul play because they all drowned. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like why would...
So none of them were found with like a head injury or like been strangled or anything besides those wounds? Like just none of them?
I don't know about the deaths outside of Wisconsin. The men who died in Wisconsin in the La Crosse River were all just drowned.
Mm-hmm. But maybe that's like the genius of it.
Well, yeah. And I think that's like the theory is also... Once a body goes into water, all of the evidence gets washed away.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a kind of another major theory is that they're doing this, whatever this killer or killers is using drowning to cover up.
Right.
Because it's a very easily thing, especially to be like, oh, they were out partying, they were drunk, they somehow decided they wanted to go swimming or fell into the water.
Right. Well, it's also like they all match such a close...
description?
Yeah, they all match such a close description,
profile?
Like profile, exactly. That if it really were just like people were drinking at a nearby bar and were frequently going for a swim or drowning or whatever, you would think that someone over the age of 30 might have also been in there, or a woman, or mm-hmm. like they're all like the same age,
yep.
the same, like the look the same, like all these like white college kids, like that
pretty
seems
much, yeah.
like a serial killer move to me.
Totally. Or is it the perfect victim for a vengeful ghost?
Right, of course. And then we have the ghost, which is the real answer here.
Yes, definitely. Well, or is it just some sort of like presence that, you know, we talked about kind of like these hot spots for
right.
bad juju.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like something that's attracting them to this spot for some reason, and you know, maybe not actually killing them, but making them think that it's okay to go in the water or I don't know, because I mean, it's definitely true that if you were inebriated, you might not understand the power of a river that large to like kind of wash you away.
Well, something, two other things I would like to point out. A lot of these men were local, so potentially like, could they have like, would they maybe know that I feel like they should know that that would not be the appropriate body of water to go swimming in.
Right.
And then also all of these men died, except for the one guy who was with his brother, and they both went in the water, is that they were all alone.
True.
So there are no witnesses. Mm-hmm. There's no one to corroborate. Like, I feel like it'd be one thing if it's like, oh, these guys were with friends. They all got drunk. This one guy decided to go swimming. The rest were like, no, don't do it.
Right.
And he did it anyways.
Right.
There's a lot to it that doesn't
add up. There's a lot that's unexplained.
Yes. Unexplained. That was the word I was looking for. So yeah, who knows? There hasn't been a death or a drowning death in the La Crosse River since 2014. I mean, fingers crossed it stays that way.
Yeah. But maybe that's because the serial killer died or stopped doing what he was doing.
Yeah. I guess I don't know when the deaths, there wasn't a whole lot of information of all the smiley faced murders in terms of like all the names of the victims. So I don't know if there have been more recently in other states, but that is the La Crosse River mystery.
I want to know so much more.
I know.
I'm really unsatisfied with the idea that they're just like...
I live to unsatisfy.
No, but they're just like, no, we're going to dismiss all these theories.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was an accident.
Well, and that's, I think, why I kind of fell into this black hole on the internet, because I was like, I need more information. Yeah. I need to know more about why they were pretty quick to be like, oh... It was, they're all drownings, where it's like, okay, like one, I get two, like even I say like up to like
few,
four or five, it's like, wow, that's a tragic thing.
Clearly it's a dangerous river.
Dangerous river. But then, you know, I saw some kind of, clips of people saying, you know, yeah, like, I think it's a college town. And they said, you know, like, yeah, when I came to school here, like my mom warned me, like, stay away from the river. Like bad things happen when you go near it.
Okay. Well, you guys, if you have the answer, please let us know.
Please.
Ghost or serial killer? What can I say?
Serial killer. I don't know.
Serial killer. Okay. Well, now that we've left you thoroughly unsatisfied, let's move on to our last and final bitching segment.
Last and final.
Oh my God. You guys, I've said too many words today and I'll go first. I'll attempt to go first. Actually, I'm super annoyed by the thing I want to talk about today. So, Grant, I'm sure that you have experienced this. And listeners, I'm sure you have experienced this as well. I want to bitch about how fucking hard and annoying it is to cancel your subscription to something.
I'm literally dealing with this right now.
Okay, great. I want to hear all about it because... it's absurd. Like, no matter what it is, whether it's like my Birchbox subscription or like I one time signed up for this, like some kind of like financial planner app thing that's costing me like $15 a month, which is way too much.
Way too much.
And basically, in order to cancel it, you have to call them between very specific hours. Because obviously, like, I go on the website and I'm trying to figure out how do I cancel this thing. There's absolutely no information to be found. Like, there's no section about canceling. It's just like, do you want to upgrade your subscription? And I'm like, I don't. I want to downgrade it to nothing. And they offer no information about that. Then, like, somewhere in, like, an email that I got one time do I find, like, a phone number about canceling your subscription. And, of course, like, it's like in the middle of a workday and I haven't done it yet because I keep forgetting about it. And you know that when I call, it's going to take like 45 minutes to actually get to the person that I need to talk to. And it pisses me off so much. It's just like, I understand why they're doing it. Like, clearly it's a kind of a smart business move to make it difficult for you to cancel something. So you're just like, fuck it, I'll just keep it. Like, if it's $15, whatever. But that's not why you should, that's not why you should be on a service, because it's just too hard. Like, you should be on a service because it's doing good things for you. And this just seems to be such a common trope across so many things that I've signed up for, so many emails that I've tried to stop receiving, and they just don't want to let you do that.
Mm-mm. Well, okay. So I'm actually not experiencing this right now. I'm experiencing, it's in like an email unsubscription.
Yeah.
But it's from something I never signed up for.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I've in the process every couple of days, I get these emails. I consistently go to the unsubscribe and they say like, thank you. You'll be unsubscribed in the next 4 to 7 days.
Oh, sure.
And I'm like, unsubscribe me now. Yeah. Or how about the first 15 times I try to unsubscribe from your, like, check your credit fucking score.
Right. Oh no, I am a very organized person normally, but I am one of those people that has approximately 8,000 unread emails right now because I'm signed up for so many things that I just haven't.
You're gonna give me a fucking panic attack.
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. Normally, I like my skin would be crawling at the thought of this, but it's just where I've gotten to because I've signed up for so many things and they make it so hard to cancel. It's really hard for me, so please move on.
Cool. My complaint is nothing timely. I don't think anything will change. It's something that disgusts me to no end, and even just thinking about it makes me want to pass away, is I cannot stand watching people spit.
Okay.
I realize that this is not a normal thing to be like heated about, but it's like when you're walking down the street and you see someone just like,
oh, hawk a loogie.
It's so gross. I think it's so unnecessary.
Uh-huh.
Like it's always dudes.
Yeah.
And it's always like out car windows, or like I can even like stand looking at spit on the ground. Like it grosses me out so much.
It's confusing because like your mouth is creating like the correct amount of saliva for you. So why do you have so much of it that you need to dispose of it on the side of the road?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I was peeing in a urinal next to someone who spit into the urinal and I almost threw up.
Jesus. Oh my God.
I'm going to trace it back to when I was in high school and this kid I used to do theater with, for some reason during one rehearsal, he was walking around with a Dunkin' Donuts cup.
No.
Just depositing phlegm into it.
Was he sick or something?
I don't know what was... I mean, obviously he is sick in the brain.
Oh my God. Say his name right now. We're going to call him out and I hope he's listening.
His name is Patrick. Just kidding. And he...
Patrick, I hope you got help.
Well, he got his somehow, because when I was in high school, because me and my friends were mean, a couple friends and I, we started making like parody songs just on GarageBand.
Cool.
And we made a song about him and about how he tried out for JV baseball and didn't make it. So he ended up being in our production of Our Town.
Patrick, I'm sorry.
I'm not sorry.
But you deserved it.
I was mean. So, yeah.
Who did he play in Our Town?
I don't fucking know.
Okay. Cool. I was hoping...
He played Javert in our production of Les Mis.
Oh my God. So this was like a High School Musical situation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're talking about Zac Efron.
Yes.
Okay. Just like name withheld for privacy. Yes. But
Patrick, in quotes. So stop spitting, everyone. Keep your nastiness in your mouth.
Yeah. Keep that saliva in there. Okay, great. Well, on that note, do we have anything else?
Rate, review, and subscribe.
Yeah, please do. Honestly,
tell your friends, tell your mom, tell your
dog, ghost friends,
doctors, and...
Yeah, neighbors, imaginary friends. Who else? Let's keep naming them.
Your
librarian.
Your lunch ladies, your
Patrick's,
taxidermists.
Any Patricks that you know. Okay, perfect.
End of list.
But, I was just going to say, it actually really is helpful if you want to keep listening to subscribe.
Yes.
Because... you know, then you'll know exactly when episodes go out. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So thank you guys.
Bye bitches.